Welcome to the Layman Filmmakers Conversation, the show that brings the ultra-low to no-budget filmmakers together. On the show, there will be discussions on your latest films, the struggles, the difficulties, and the experiences endured on the creative storytelling journey.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Layman Filmmakers Conversation. I'm your host, Daniel Pellegrino, and on today's episode, my guest and I will be discussing acting on no-budget films. My guest is an actress with a wealth of experience, both on no-to-micro-budget projects and has featured on a number of US TV shows. So without wasting any more time, please join us on the conversation, and I hope you do enjoy it as we dive into acting on no to micro budget films. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Layman Filmmakers Conversation. And today I've got a fantastic guest, and I would like you to introduce yourself.
My name's Suleika Bell. I'm an actress, TV, film mainly. And I'm now currently living in Paris, France. So I'm on your side of the pond, I guess.
Fantastic.
Do you want to know a little bit about my journey?
Tell me a bit
journey.
Tell me a bit about your background, where you started off and whatnot.
Oh, gosh. Well, as they say, for actors, it's a lot of plateaus and, you know, hills and valleys. I've been doing this 25 years. I started off in Los Angeles and I moved to New York, took a break for a good 5 years, went back to school and then got back into it and have been doing it for the last 10 years. I've done shows. I mean, I can really age myself by telling you all the shows I've been on. But just to give you an idea, Seinfeld was one of my first jobs. Scrubs, ER, to Law and Order, Gotham, to now what I've just finished shooting, which is Billions on Showtime. And that's season 6.
Fantastic.
So that's been a great experience.
And you forgot a very small part that you had in The Blacklist.
And Blacklist.
you're still in it,
yes.
Which is a big deal.
Yes.
Hey, come on.
Oh, so, yeah, I get my residual checks. I always get excited when I see those.
Brilliant. But so obviously you have a pretty good resume when it comes to acting. But what I'd love to talk to you about is your experiences on the lower end of the spectrum of filmmaking. You know, what are your, let's just go with the generalization. What's your experience on a low to no budget film?
Well, I used to do a lot of college short films. I mean, that's kind of comes with the standard of building your resume before I got a lot of these TV shows. And, those were a bit challenging because we wouldn't go by union rules and you would just hire people who are out of school. As an actor, I just wanted to work. I just wanted to act. So once I, had kind of done a few short films, school short films through USC and local universities in Los Angeles, you realize you start wearing many hats and you become the gaffer. You're carrying things. For example, you just want, if you're a true artist, you just want to make the project happen and be part of it as much as possible. So that's how it was, I would say, almost 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Now, if you're shooting a short film or something ultra low budget, you have the capability of shooting it on your phone. You don't have to rent these high-tech cameras. You have the capability of following, well, with SAG, Screen Actors Guild in the US, I don't know how the unions work in the UK or other countries, but there are plans and I would say grants that they offer as well for low budget films.
Okay.
And short films for people that are part of the union. I support that because it comes with a lot of guidelines and a lot of protection.
Absolutely.
So just to kind of give you an idea, initially, it was do whatever you can to get the money and finish it and make it and edit it. But now all that can be done on your phone, at your home, in your backyard. And my experience working on The Last Round, which is a film you produced, I really advocate working with people that are, well, in the US, it was part of unions and part of trained that are trained as well, trained in these unions. I don't know how you found such fantastic people with The Last Round, but we can talk about that another time because yeah, a lot absolutely. Of them are doing so well. I mean, all the way down to your stunt coordinator, I forgot her name, but she's fantastic right now.
Yeah.
And down to the makeup artist.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's not, well, obviously, when you come together, especially with the actors, I mean, a lot of people when they do when filmmakers say, right, we're going to make a film, they obviously everyone needs to be treated the same, but it just seems that actors sometimes are treated like royalty on set and everyone else isn't, whereas obviously a lot of people now,
I don't think that exists as much now.
Well, now it doesn't, because there's, you know, it's more, you know, everyone, let's collaborate together, everyone at the same level, rather than, oh my god, you know, because I remember when I started off as an actor, wow, some of the, even on a low budget, people were just so diva-ish. It was ridiculous. Whereas now actors do seem to want to get their hands dirty. 100%. Yeah. So, but it's nice that, you know.
And if I could, in regards to The Last Round, what we worked on, I mean, if I could be so honest, like, I remember you called me and you're like, and I'm like, I got my plane ticket. I'm ready to come out. I'll see you in a few days. And you're like, yeah, we're still trying to finalize the money.
Oh my God.
Can you hang on for a few days?
Horrific.
And I was like, how can I help? How can I help? And you're
it
like,
it was crazy. You were brilliant.
We need donations. And I'm like, no problem. Well, and then I just made it. I made a like 100 phone calls, and I was even surprised at how many people jumped on board that are friends and family, because
I was going
to
say,
I wanted to help and I wanted to make sure that money was locked in.
Yeah.
But the minute I got there, what was it, like a 4-day shoot? Or
it was a 3-day shoot, but it was
crazy.
3 or 4 day
shoot. The minute I, yeah. But the minute I got there, you guys, I mean, I don't know if, you know, you can only be so organized. You can have your shot list. You can have your locations, you know, locked in. You can have your airline ticket booked. Money can be, you know, bleeding and, you know, but there's so many things that come up. It's like problem after problem.
Yeah.
And if you don't have everybody on board, if you don't have everybody communicating and saying, yeah, what can I do to help? It will sink. It's like a ship.
Yeah. I mean, have you had any, obviously we did have, and which we can talk about if you want, but we did have a few, you know, hiccups on set, because it was the first sort of short film production that we had with a bit of a budget. But have you, what in general, like, what would you
none
class,
compared to how badly I've had before?
Well, I was going to say, what, you know, what are your experience, both good and bad? I mean, an actor or a filmmaker, because I want to look at it with both set of glasses. As an actor coming in, like a new actor, a beginner, you know, and they're saying, right, okay, I'm going to jump on this project because they've just cast me, they really like me. You know, what can an actor expect on a no budget project in general, that is?
In general, if everything is going to be impromptu, you can do as many rehearsals as you want, but the minute you show up on set, if your lighting isn't right, if you're outdoors and you're dealing with noise, or if you're dealing with, you know, a crew member not showing up, you're going to have to adjust. And that's a bit of a challenge. I've had experiences on sets with big budgets. I mean, I had a director once tell me, I don't want to bring up the Alec Baldwin thing, but I don't want to tell you the show either.
No.
I had to be shot at, but it was a toy gun, and it wasn't even that. It wasn't even the fact that I had to be shot at, because it was the rehearsal. I had the director be very aggressive with me, and I was just working for one day, and right, I didn't really know how to respond. But he literally came up to me and asked me, have you ever been shot before? And I said, no.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Acting. I've never been shot at before.
Oh my gosh.
Are you okay? You know? And I thought, wow, this guy is odd. And he slowly started to, like, he's like, here, I'm going to show you. And he put his hands on my shoulder and he held me. And then he just started like hitting at my shoulder, at the top area of my shoulder. I was shocked. I couldn't believe this was a few years ago. I couldn't believe he was putting his hands on me like that and just being so aggressive. And then he'd hit me harder. And he's like, that's what it's going to feel like.
Wow.
I know, but I didn't really know how to respond because I was only working one day. So I actually made a choice. I was like, okay, well, the stunt coordinator's right there next to me. He's watching this. He's not saying a lot. I could tell he was a little uncomfortable. Then I said, you know what? I got it. No problem. And I took the stunt coordinator to the side and there was a mat. And so I had to ricochet and fall on the mat. And that was what I worked on with the stunt coordinator. But this director, I guess it was his ego. I don't know. Mm. He just felt like he needed to show me what getting hit felt like. Yeah. And in today's day and age, especially after what we've heard in the world, that would never happen.
Right.
On low budget films, you're going to have to figure out how to fall if there is a scene where you are falling like that. You know, you're not going to have as many designated people assigned to explaining things to you because you're on a low budget film.
Yeah.
So you want to be as prepared as possible. I mean, from an acting point of view, I always, it's all about chemistry. It's not about having your lines memorized and being prepared. It's in that way. I really believe that it's what's the relationship between you and the other person you're acting with. And that's how magic can happen.
Yeah, it's all about communication, isn't it?
I didn't know a lot of the actors from the last. Yeah, and the actors, I think we did a table read on the last round. I think we met the night before we started shooting. And my first day of shooting was, I think the call time was like 9 p.m. We didn't start shooting till like midnight or something.
Technical difficulties.
The actors were fantastic. They were, it was because of, I think, the location. We needed this office building and we had to use it after hours. And that happens on big budget sets all the time. But to get to know your cast that you're acting with, it was fast. And luckily, everybody was so nice and so welcoming. But my fight scene with
with Katrina.
Name. Can you remember her name?
Of course I can. Katrina. She's like big time
Katrina.
Now.
Katrina. She is. She was a professional back then.
She was
a professional back then. Yeah. She told me, she's like, if you swing, I will duck. And I was like, I've never swung before. I don't even know if I don't want to go too low. So she gave me the confidence to say, I promise you, if you swing, I will go low enough. I will not get hit. And, you know, there are those risks. So, again, we're running against the clock. Yeah. And I had to trust her to a certain degree. But absolutely. I trusted her because she's got training out the wazoo. I mean, she's trained, I think, for a long, long time. That's why she's doing so well right now.
Can we name drop one of the big films that she was in?
Oh, sure.
Doctor Strange, the Marvel. Seeing as we're talking about
that's
her.
That's right. Yeah. That's
but
right.
Anyway,
and she was in it.
She was, yeah.
She was not a stunt.
She was one of the henchmen, one of the baddie henchmen.
She was in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But going back to
your experience. I love her. She was so supportive.
Yeah. I mean, going back to your experience, I have to be, honest. Obviously, ours was, again, it was all semi-rushed. And our concern as filmmakers was, you know, the importance of you not only flying over from another country. You know, we had to respect the fact that you'd booked your ticket, you'd come over. You know, for us, it was, especially for me as the producer, it was very important that you had, you because obviously I come from an acting background, so that thing that you talk about, chemistry, is so important. So when you hear about these productions that, you know, you just jump in and, oh, here's your actors, go, you know, we're going to start shooting now. You're like, well, hang on a minute. You know, can I get time to bond with some of these people? Have you ever experienced that?
Yeah,
where
exactly.
You've literally been thrown into the deep end?
A lot. Yeah. It was, you know, especially when you're just building your resume, you want to work, you want the job, and you have no idea who the producers are, who the directors are. You're meeting them at an audition, you know, and if you book the job, there's a lot of trust that has to come in as an actor when you're walking into a new setting. So I've had short films where I've jumped on board and as a producer because I wanted to see it come to life. I've had projects that you show up to set and they've run out of money, so they are no longer shooting. It's tiresome. You're doing your own hair and makeup. You are bringing your own wardrobe. You're wearing a lot of hats, as well as trying to understand the vision of the director because it's not your story. New York is a lot, from my experience, I think, you know, doing a lot of the short films in LA versus short films in New York, because that's kind of where my background comes from. I really enjoyed working in New York because you're trying to follow the rules of abiding by the permits and getting permits and things like that. But, you know, to shoot on a New York subway, that's exciting.
That is exciting.
You know, when you're amongst real people, to shoot on the sidewalks of New York, it's great. So for me, I enjoyed the experience. I've taken a break, and not because of where my career is when it comes to doing low budget. And we don't have to talk about this today, but, you know, I produced a feature film and used my own money. And that was a bit traumatizing.
I can imagine.
Just because, because you're spending your own personal money. At the time I was, and I put up a lot of it, and I wanted to see the film come to life. And that is a 1 year to year and a half commitment you have with other producers, other directors that you may or may not get along with. And if there's one thing I can recommend to upcoming actors who are like, well, I've got to create my own content. That's the only way I'm going to break through. They've got to see the kind, you know, stories that I want to create. I always tell people, I'm like, if you can, if you're starting early enough, intern at a casting office, intern at a production office, all the way down to interning on set as a PA, which I've done all of this. I PA'd for a Bollywood film that shot in Los Angeles. And you will slowly start hearing, because people talk on sets all the time. Yeah. You will start hearing the dialogue of what's going on behind the scenes to make that story come alive.
Right.
And you'll realize that if you don't participate or if you don't try to make it work, then you're going to butt heads. The film's going to get on, the film will halt. You're going to bleed more money. You and I were talking about this earlier. When films stop, that's when you're spending more money, basically. Yep. So you kind of want to just be as prepared as possible. That's why I've taken a break from that, because I feel like, I feel like I'm a little traumatized by acting in a film, producing it, and partially funding that film as well.
It takes up a lot.
Definitely exhausted.
It takes a lot of energy. But it is what a lot of actors are doing at the moment, though. You know, especially when you, like, I can speak for myself. You get frustrated because you go through so many auditions, you don't get the part. You think, oh, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Then you get to the point you say, do you know what? I'm going to create my own stuff now. But what people realize, and like you've just quite, pointed out quite bluntly, it's not easy because it does take time, it does take money, it does take a hell of a lot of preparation. I mean, I would personally,
I can also say that, especially nowadays, which I applaud the younger generation, and I say younger generation, I'm talking about like the 20-year-olds that are like, I'm going to film it with my phone. At the time, you would go to school to be a director. You would go to school to know how to man a camera or to be able to communicate with the cinematographer. Now it's, what kind of phone do you have? Let's shoot it.
It's crazy.
This is my vision. We'll figure it out in the editing room. And I applaud people that can do that because I'm just like, wow, that's amazing.
It is. And it's, I mean, for, I think as an actor, as actors, I think for us, it's, we don't care. We just point whatever it is you got to point at and we'll just do our bit, you know, we'll just do our acting. Whereas behind the camera on the tech side, it's a bit more complicated really, isn't it? Because, you know,
yeah.
I think sometimes we sort of think we come on set as actors and we think, well, you know, we just need to come on, you know, do our thing, you know, act and that's it, off we go. But you've obviously pointed out on a low budget project, sometimes it's not, that's not always the case. Because I mean, personally me, I remember my very first project that I was on, I actually helped the lighting guy carry all the stuff from the van to the set because for me, it was just exciting to be on set. You know, what can I do? Yeah. Hey, what can I do? And I'll give you a hand. And whereas some of my counterparts were the complete opposite. Where are the grapes? Where is my wine?
Yeah, well, yeah. And, you know, you and I talked about that a little bit earlier. I don't see that as much these days.
No, absolutely
and
not.
I'm going to tell you why. So I think low budget films, the experience you have on low budget films is preparing you for being on a big budget film. I mean, I do a lot more TV than I have ever done on a big budget film, but there's a certain personality you have to have when you walk onto these sets. A set is a set at the end of the day. So whatever you're giving that 150%, almost 200% on a low budget film is what you're going to be giving on a TV or a big budget film set.
Yeah, absolutely.
A big budget film set, yes, there's a lot more people hired to do certain things that they're going to ask you not to do. But when I've, my experience with TV, which is something I've just done recently, I can tell you this, you know, your rehearsal is on set with these actors, maybe 5 minutes before you start shooting.
Wow.
And then it's about the camera angles. Are they getting their shots? Are we filling in, you know, what they're looking for? Hey, can we try it this way? Maybe. Sure. Let's do one more take so they can give them that. And then boom, done. We're finished by the time allotted for that scene because they've got to move on to other scenes. And a lot of these shows, I worked on 4 episodes, and a lot of these shows are, they have different directors each episode.
Yeah,
so as an actor, you're having a different experience each time.
Of course.
And I can tell you that for me has been the most learning experience.
I can imagine, yeah. You have to adapt to each style of each director.
Yeah, and you know, that's something we can talk about. Low budget film or big budget film, it's the same thing as for an actor. You've got to be able to deliver. I worked on a low budget short film and the director and I got along great at the audition. I showed up on set and she acted very differently because she was so stressed about everything that was going on.
Right.
And, you know, obviously you can see that and you can take it in, but when it came to my delivery, she wasn't happy with what I was doing.
Really?
And she was pushing and pushing and pushing. And I thought, how can I, and as actors, you kind of have to decode what the director's saying, maybe, you know, sometimes the director's like, I didn't like it. I want you to do it this way. And you're trying to think, okay, I auditioned and you were fine with it that way. And now we're on set and we're dealing with like something completely different. And and it's her story. I want to do what she is looking for. So I didn't want to fight with her because that's only going to make it more complicated.
Yeah,
so,
worse,
or argue with her or question her or anything like that. That's not my personality either. So I tried to take the note and do what she asked me to do. In the end, I think I did it. I mean, I saw that I wasn't upset. And something that I can say I learned from that is, well, I was upset when I went home. I went home and I thought, man, I bombed. I couldn't deliver. I feel defeated. I'm so upset, blah, blah, blah. One of the producers I know, and I texted her and I said, gosh, did I, you know, what did you think? And she said, oh, I thought you did a great job. I don't know what you're talking about. You know,
wow.
You know, she just asked you to do it a few different times. I didn't see any of that. And I thought, you know what, Suleika, you've got to just be able to show up on set, be like completely open to whatever is going to happen, dealing with the situation of that day, and just go with it. And then the minute you walk off that set, let it go. Because a lot of this can be fixed in the editing room.
Yeah.
A lot of this can be, you know, you don't know the vision of the director. It was a dark series of vignettes of stories in this short film. And so my story was one of many others. So I had no idea how she was going to piece this together.
Right.
But I do remember feeling like I had disappointed her. And you just, that's one thing I've learned in life is like, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah,
sometimes
absolutely.
It's a great connection and there's this bond and we create magic like you and I did on the last round. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I was nervous flying
really?
To another country, not knowing what to expect, but it felt, well, it wasn't, I wouldn't say nervous, but I remember people are like, you're flying to London to do a short film. And I said, it's a great story. And you know, there's everything looks great on paper, right? Some things look, you know, better than others. But I remember talking to you and talking to Lee and just meeting the team, and you always updated me. You always kept me, you know, in the loop as to what was going on. And I thought, I have to be part of this. I'm so curious to see what can happen. And as actors, we have to take risks. Sometimes things work out and sometimes they don't. And when I showed up on that set, you had fantastic people on there. And I'm not just trying to, you know, boost your ego because I'm on your show.
Don't have
it
any.
Was a good experience and it was only 3 days.
Yeah. Well, that's
what?
And I don't have any. I like to think
I
don't have any.
It was a good experience.
Yeah. I mean, this is what it's all about. I think everyone, whether you're an actor and whether you're whether you're a sound guy, whoever it is, even if it's just someone, you know, helping out, just assisting, not necessarily having a role, everyone needs to be, you know, on board, you know, and it's all about communication and respecting one another. I just feel like, and I think the reason why we made you comfortable is because we went for drinks beforehand as well. That helped a great deal when we went to the pub.
Probably. But, I was a little jet lagged as well, so maybe
yeah,
I was just relaxed.
I remember that, yeah.
But the locations you had were fantastic. Lee is a great cinematographer. I mean,
yeah, he's pretty good.
I think also I had seen his demo reel before, and he's such a kind, like he was really good with the actors, you know, as well as you.
And he's fun as well. He's a fun person to
be
around.
We all felt comfortable. I mean, I don't know if your audience knows, I had to put a chain around someone's head the first day I got there. And
hang on a second. Can we be
like,
can we be really careful what we say? We did it in a safe fashion. We didn't do anything crazy.
Oh, yes. Yes, audience. It was very safe. It was actually neck. But but it was a very safe environment. But, you know, I was like, I can't. And you were like, I forgot his name.
Are we talking about the guy that you put the chain round?
Yes.
Yeah, Raymond.
Yes.
I think it was Raymond, yeah.
Raymond. Okay, so Raymond is, you know, he's an older gentleman. And I was like, he kept telling me, just choke me. Don't worry. It's not going to hurt. I kept thinking, you are crazy. I am not going to do that. But anyways, the whole process to do that,
yeah.
I was like, I can't believe I have to stay in character and do this for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
And still make it believable. And
oh,
there was so much trust on that set.
Yeah, well, this is it. But I just want to, a quick question. So do you think that there's, I know on a bigger production, there's obviously a lot more money involved. There's a lot more professionals involved that are there to actually make you feel safe and comfortable and whatnot. But do you feel the stress is, like, I know you sort of pointed it, you know, stressed it out earlier, but do you still think that there's more stress on a big film set because there's more on the line? Or is there a lot of stress on a small film set? Because, I mean, what's your view? Where do you think, or is it equal? because you sort of said before that it's no matter what the budget, it's still as stressful and still as, I mean, what's your point of view?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I'm always stressed when this is also something you learn through the process and getting more and more work. Mm. I mean, you're stressed, you want to deliver, you're thinking about your career, you know, early on in any project. The example I told you about the short film that I worked on where she didn't like what I was doing, I was sweating. I started sweating. I was like, wow, I'm not able to understand her to deliver this little story that I'm working on. And even on TV shows in the bigger picture, you know, I'm not thinking about, oh, what are people going to see when they watch me? It's more about the story. Yeah. And you're not it's like what I said earlier, you're working with different directors on TV. So I worked on 4 episodes of this TV show. I had different directors each time. The first director, she was fantastic. I actually get very excited to work with female directors because I don't see them enough. Hmm. And she was kind of a girl's girl. She, you know, she talked to me as much as she could, but she's thinking about her shots. The second director, he was completely technical. I remember I asked him, I'm like, were you okay with my delivery? Was I strong enough on that? And he looked at me and he said, yeah, that was great. Whatever you did. Well, yeah, he's like, whatever you did, just make sure you continue to keep doing it because I'm moving the camera around and I need to see consistency.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's technical. He doesn't care about my delivery. That's my job, you know? So yeah, when it comes to the stress, you know, the third director I worked with, he is a very experienced director and he kind of wore both hats. He would stop during the scene and, you know, one of us and me, sometimes he'd be like, do it again. I didn't like that delivery. He'd come over and whisper to the actor and say, yeah, can you kind of not be so aggressive? Can you be a little bit bitchier? Blah, 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 all of this. And you're like, you're having to like decode it in your head really fast because he's about to say action in, you know, the minute he walks back to that camera.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with low budget films, with short films, all of that. These directors, especially nowadays, are so well trained. They know what they're looking for. Yeah. And so a lot of them know how to communicate with actors, probably better than the bigger budget directors. Right. You know what I mean? Because those are veterans. Those are people that have had a lot of experience. Yeah. These younger directors are taking acting classes. They are talking more to the actors. So I guess to answer your question, I would find it less stressful on a short film, on a low budget film, because you've probably had a lot more interaction with that director than you've had on a bigger budget film.
Right. Okay. I get you. That's interesting.
I mean, unless you're Tom Cruise and you're producing the film and, you know.
That's a whole different.
Sorry. And you know, and you're very involved, then you're having a lot of communication with the directors, the producers, the creators.
Yeah.
But from my experience, you're there, you're getting paid to be there. And so time is money. They need you in and out to deliver whatever you did at the audition. And that's it.
I was going to sort of ask you also, because you sort of touched on something very interesting previously. You know, you said when you do a scene, because it seems that scenes are getting cut. Do you worry? Obviously, you need to know your lines as an actor, which is always my biggest paranoia as an actor. Whether you're going to fluff them or you can't remember your line or whatever it is, especially when you've got complex dialogue. Do you feel that? Obviously, I haven't been on for ages on a massive set. So when you are on a big set, is the technique the same on a smaller set where you do a chunk of the dialogue and then you continue it and then do it on a different angle? Is it the same both on a smaller budget and on a bigger budget when they do that? Or do you have a whole big monologue where you just let rip? What's the technique there?
To answer your question in a short version, it's from my experience the same. But with TV, this is where more money comes in. You've got more cameras, you've got more angles. So instead of having one camera on you, if you've got three people, that's harder to capture than when you have three cameras on you with three people. Now that now each camera is focusing on a different angle, and they're able to get more shots on a bigger budget TV show. On a low budget, you know, they've got they're still following the same protocol as a bigger budget show or film. They've got probably their shot list. They've probably got an AD and a DP that's, you know, that has a certain vision that they have discussed amongst one another. So from my experience, you know, if it's a long scene, they're going to try to get as much of that long scene on that one shot or from that angle, but you're going to do it 15 to 20 more times.
Yeah.
So the irony in all of that is like, am I going to have my lines down? Am I going to have by the time you're done with shooting that scene, you have said those lines probably 15 to 30 times. You know what I mean? And I would love to share this with other actors. I have seen famous, famous, professional, brilliant actors not remember their lines. By the 15th or 30th take, they're just like, and they're being fed the lines, you know, or they've been doing this show for 10, 15, 20 years and they don't really need to remember their lines anymore. You know, someone's going to feed it to them. But there's something about the way the camera angle is or the their delivery that makes us fall in love with them. You know, one actor who's always prepared and I am so beyond impressed with his capability and his delivery because it's different every single time was Paul Giamatti. He was ready to play, you know, and he's been acting for a long time. Yeah. So that is someone I will always throw his name out there because I'm just in awe of how prepared he is and how much fun he's having. And that's the other thing. You have to have a lot of fun. Even though there's so much stress, you can kind of feel the tension around you. Like, is the camera there? Is, you know, is the boom in the right place? Is you can kind of, you feel the tension, especially in that vibe, you're sitting there and you're waiting for, you're waiting for everybody to be ready. And, you know, and then they call you on and you're in your seat and you've got to deliver, but you feel the tension. But if you don't have fun with it, you're not going to be able to be relaxed and have, and deliver, you know? And so I saw that in him and I was like, that's something I'm taking home.
Yeah. Cause I mean, even on a short film, I feel that sometimes if I am not 100% prepared, I go into meltdown, even if it is a 500-pound film, whatever it is. It's like, because it's, you know, I think as an actor, it is your responsibility to be prepared, you know, and it's
100%.
And then everyone around you is expecting you to, you know, the light people are doing the lights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The least you could do is remember your lines.
The short film that I worked on where the director wasn't happy with my delivery, I went into that project, and I will say this honestly, I think I went into that project a little too confident, meaning that we got along so well initially, the audition went so smoothly. I was prepared. I knew my lines, but I feel like if I had really, really spent a little bit longer, you know, researching or just you know, anticipating the unexpected, which is what I always like to do now on TV shows. If you can anticipate the unexpected, you might be able to play more and try different things.
Yeah.
I showed up on that set thinking that my audition is what she wants, and here she came at me and said, "That's not what I want." So when it came down to doing the next scene, I literally just had to walk into a room and walk out. I wasn't walking in the right way. She didn't like it. And she cut it from the film. And again, I can't take that personally. That's her vision. It's her story. And it's a learning lesson. You know what I mean? It's exactly what you said. You just always want to, as an actor, anticipate the unexpected. What happens if they want it this way? Things that I have experienced on TV, I have done collaborative scenes with other people talking, and they're talking way faster than I've ever had imagined, you know,
yeah.
or they're talking way slower than I had ever imagined. And so your attention, you've got to be on, you know what I mean? So can you imagine you're waiting for someone to talk and you're the next line and they're taking their time to say their line. So now you're like, okay, he's not talking. When is he going to talk so I can say my line, you know? But I have to act like I'm engaged, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a lot of the anticipating the unexpected.
Yeah. I mean, see, that right there, that's also an important part of acting, paying attention to your fellow actor that's delivering, you reacting. And this is both for big and small projects. It's all about that engagement, because there are times where other people might be just totally switched off. Like, oh, I know my lines, I'm not interested, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Whereas I think as actors, we need to be engaged.
No. There have been times where I've been on set and I'm so engaged in what's being said and what's going on that this happened recently where it came down to my line. I forgot my line and the camera crew and everybody was like, you know, obviously people started laughing and they were like, okay, let's do it again. And I went, I am so sorry. I don't know what just happened, but I was really into the moment that I forgot my line. And one of the leads on the show, he leaned over to me and he goes, that means you were listening. And I said, so absolutely. True. You know,
there's a difference between listening and daydreaming though, right?
Yes, exactly. I wasn't daydreaming. I was into it. I was.
No, I'm not saying you were, but so some brilliant. People
wow,
can.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it's if you're really want, I mean, and look, I understand that there's a lot of excitement to, and it's changed a lot to be an actor, to be a working actor, to be on TV, to see yourself on film and all this stuff. But you've really got to be malleable. You've really got to be open to different personalities because you feel it and see it when you're on set. And that could be low budget and that can be big budget. It's just how
absolutely.
It is. It's all comes down to the chemistry. I really believe that. And that's something you can't really see until you're there.
Absolutely. So just to wrap it up, for a filmmaker listening, how should a filmmaker approach an actor when they're doing a short budget film or a micro budget film?
Oh gosh, this is such a good question. I really, 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 really think filmmakers should take acting classes.
Oh,
there's a certain language, there's a certain understanding that actors do their best to communicate. And if a filmmaker is on the same level as that, the actor is more excited and more willing to do whatever it is that filmmaker is looking to do.
Right.
If the filmmaker talks to you in a very technical way, it's like you're speaking code to the actor. You're not really able to understand. And we as actors have to kind of decode what you're saying to us because we want to deliver what you're looking for. So I always say, please take an acting class. Please do something so you can be able to communicate with actors.
Brilliant.
And filmmakers should love acting because once they're on the same page as an actor, there's this like excitement of wanting to,
brilliant.
You know, make magic and build this amazing chemistry.
Great, great bit of advice. What about vice
so that's
versa?
My advice.
What about vice versa with actors approaching filmmakers?
Exactly. And that's what I said earlier. When I was in college, and I'm so glad I did this, even though I felt lost, I interned at every place that would take me because I didn't know what exactly I wanted to do. I knew deep down inside I wanted to act, but I was like, let me see what it involves. I don't want to be an actor and not have any knowledge of what is involved with every other aspect. So I interned at a production office, at a casting office, at a talent agency office. I saw how agents were booking actors and why they were booking actors. I got to see that. And then I worked on film sets as a PA. I delivered coffee a lot. I drove people around to their hotels. But at the same time, I got to hear conversations of how their day was while they were on set. You know what I mean? It
brilliant.
There is something so important about putting your hands in everything before you actually work, because then you're like, oh, I know what you do. I respect what you do. I have very good relationships with PAs because they are the ones that are walking you on that set.
Yeah.
And they're the first people that greet you when you walk on a set. So you really want to have a good relationship with, PAs.
And finally,
amongst others.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, where can we know what you're working on? So that was going to be one of my questions, but you've already sort of, you've already told us what you're working on. But where can people find you on the socials if they want to check out your work or get in contact with you or and all that good stuff?
Yes. So because I live in Paris right now, the easiest way to see me is through Instagram. I love Instagram. I love pictures. So my handle is Suleika Ebel, SulekhaEbelle. I have a website, suleikaebel.com. And I just finished shooting Billions on Showtime, which is going to be airing January 23rd, 2022. My episodes are later on. Yeah, I'm going to be vegging out these next couple of holidays because it's been
I can imagine.
It's been a tiring couple of months. So
And I will be putting all your handles, all your social media handles on the descriptions and on the show notes. So in case people do want to check you out, they know where to go and they can check out your work and maybe get in touch with you if they want to chat about anything acting.
Fantastic.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you and I hope we can do this again soon.
Oh, thank you, Daniel. This was fun.
Well, that's another show wrapped up and I hope you've enjoyed it. You can find out all the details of this episode in the show notes and on our website at www.laymanfilmmakers.com. If you did enjoy this episode and what we are doing here on the Layman Filmmakers Conversation, please don't forget to leave a 5-star review. Thanks again. I'm Daniel Pellegrino. Till next time.
You've been listening to the Layman Filmmakers Conversation. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and YouTube. Till next time, keep filming.